Dear all, welcome to today's webinar. Today we will be talking about OS in Europe and GPKv7m and whitelist in Poland. My name is Osman, and today my colleagues Robert and Ege will be helping us for this webinar. So I would like to give microphone to them for a brief introduction. Robert, shall I start with you?
Yes, that's okay. Thank you. My name is Robert Hoogeveen. I'm Dutch. And I am a functional design architect at SNI, mainly responsible for all the functional elements related to all the solutions that we are creating, from Softy, e-invoicing, and also these kind of master data checks. That's it for now.
Thank you, Robert. And Ege?
Hello, this is Ege. I'm from Turkey. I made the research of regulations worldwide electronic invoicing and indirect tax reporting regulations, and help develop SNI's product and help customers, clients of SNI stay compliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ege. And as I mentioned, today we will be talking about the VS and regulations in Poland, and I will start with a brief introduction about our company, and then later on we will get started with the regulations. And also during the presentation, if you have any questions, you may kindly raise your questions from the Q&A part, and at the end on the questions and answers part, we will be answering them. So about our company, as you might know, SNI is a SAP sub-developer company, which was founded in 2006. And apart from the 2013, we have been providing e-compliance solutions, mainly for the European countries. And then later on, we expanded our market into the Latin America and Asia-Pacific countries. And our main headquarters is located in Istanbul, Turkey. But as you see on the screen, we have been working with partners across Europe, and we have been providing more than 30 countries in terms of this e-compliance solutions. And as the new regulations are coming up, we are developing our solutions accordingly. And most of our clients are mainly based on multinational clients. As you see now on the screen, it gets started mainly in the European countries, and then later it got expanded into the globe, such as Latin America and Asia Pacific. And these are the couple of references who use at least one of the SNI add-on solutions. And for the first part, we will be talking about what is the VAT information exchange system and how it works. And on the second part, we will be discussing about the digital VAT regulations in Poland, such as the whitelist or e-register, and what will the new GPK file, which is GPKv7m, will bring for the taxpayers. And for the first part, I would like to give microphone to Robert to give more details about the solution and regulation.
Yeah, thank you, Osman. So now we are first starting with some information about the VIES system. That is really a European system. And I'm now having some... there it is. So first we start with what is VIES? And many of you will already know, but just a brief summary. VIES is the VAT Information Exchange System. It is an EU platform. It is not a database, but it is an EU platform that allows you to validate the VAT numbers, registration numbers of customers and vendors within all the European countries. So the actual numbers, VAT numbers, are stored in national databases of every member state. And via the VIES platform, you retrieve the information from these member state databases. That also can sometimes be an issue, because it is not that the system is always available, because if a member state has not an available database at a certain moment in time, then it won't be possible to validate it against the VAT numbers against the database because it is not available. That is something that is happening more often in one member state than in another. So Italy is kind of a country where sometimes the availability is not perfect. And in Germany, it is almost always available. The VAT number can be validated manually via a website from the VIS system, or you can do it in an automated way via a query, a web service, where you just send the information in an electronic way and get the results back. Why is it important? And it is getting more and more important with the so-called quick fixes that are introduced in the beginning of this year. But a valid VAT number is a necessary condition for a zero-rated cross-border transaction within Europe. So when you export goods from one country, EU country, to another EU country, then you can apply a zero VAT. So you don't have to charge VAT on that invoice. But that is only allowed when there is, first of all, you must always have evidence that there was a cross-border transport. And second, and that is the part that we're now talking about, the customer must have a valid VAT registration number in the country of destination. That is the main rule. There are some exceptions. You can also use a VAT number of another country, but this is the main rule, and this is used for about 98% of all the cross-border transactions within Europe. What does it mean? That means that when you don't have a valid VAT number of the customer, then the transaction is not qualifying as an intra-EU supply, and that you should have charged not 0% VAT, but the VAT in your local country where you are shipping from. And that is especially important if they identify during a tax audit afterwards that you that the VAT number was not valid, then the tax auditors can do an assessment of the underpaid VAT because it was not 0% formal, and then you have to pay 27% in Hungary, 21% in Germany, now it is 16%. And 21% in the Netherlands or Belgium. So therefore, it is really very important because if you do not comply with it, there is quite a significant financial risk. There are several options to validate VAT registration numbers. First of all, I already mentioned it, just directly via manual intervention on the EU website. There are many end-use tools available, primarily in Excel, where you can validate against the database. And third, but not least, an integrated solution in SAP. And that is what we will be offering you. The manual is quite simple. You just go to the website, and I included the link to the website, and then you enter the country and the VAT number that you want to validate. And if you use your own VAT number as the requester, then you will get all the data, all the results. You see that on the screen. And you see also at the bottom a consultation number. And that is in fact the proof that you have validated that number. The problem is when you do this, then it is a time-consuming process. And if you have thousands of customers, you cannot do it. And how to archive the results that you have validated the number and that it is a valid number. That is a kind of a complexity, a challenge. You can also do it with end-use tools, so Excel spreadsheets with macros and kind of web services. They are common available on the website, on Google, etc. And sometimes it is even free of charge, or we have also paid versions. So you can also use that. So the basic process for that, for these end-use type of solutions, is that you download your VAT numbers from SAP, from the master data, And these downloads then are then copied into that Excel template. And from there, there's a validation button and you can do it in one go. Quite an effective process, but the problem is, or the challenge is, that you have to do multiple steps every time, again and again. So every time that you are validating the VAT numbers, you have to download the data from SAP into the spreadsheet and do the activate the validation manually. And also, how do you archive your results? And then you are dependent on the kind of the discipline of the users that are doing that. So it is much easier than manual validation, but it is still quite a complex process and it is not integrated. Sorry. So therefore, we have developed this validation of VAT registration numbers inside SAP as an integrated solution. So what it will do, it will select all your data from SAP and will store that in a cockpit. And from the cockpit, you can do the validation. And all the communication to the EU website and the results that are coming back are stored inside the cockpit. So therefore, there is a complete audit trail available on the actions that you've taken with regards to the validation of the VAT registration numbers. You can do it by yourself in a real-time online process, but you can also set up a batch process that is, for example, doing that validation every month for all your customer VAT numbers. So then you have an up-to-date, a more or less up-to-date overview of the valid VAT numbers, or more important, the invalid VAT numbers. In some countries, or in most countries, when you do that validation, you do not only get the result. Yes, it is a valid VAT number, but you can also get the name and address data back from the website. In the solution, what we will do, that is, we will also retrieve that name and store it in that cockpit, and there is a kind of a likelihood validation to check if the name in your master data is corresponding to the name that is returned by the VIES system. It is a likelihood validation, because with typos and formats, then yeah, there can always be some differences, but that is at least giving an indication that it is correct. And optional is that you implement a specific button in the system for your master data, that when you create a new customer and you enter a VAT number, that is then directly validating that VAT number against the database. And in that case, you prevent to enter incorrect VAT registration numbers in your customer master data. Something about the architecture of the solution. This is a common architecture that is used for, in principle, for all our systems. So we are operating inside SAP, ECC or S4HANA. And on the left-hand side, you see the source data from SAP. In this case, we're talking about VAT registration numbers, so it are only the vendor and customer master data or business partner master data. These data, these numbers, the VAT numbers, are extracted from the standard SAP tables and then are stored in a cockpit. And from that cockpit, which provides an overview of all your VAT numbers and your partners, from there we create the validation routine with sending the file, it is in an XML format, via web services to the VIES system, and for the results that are coming back in the cockpit. There's a common architecture, and it's also used for all kind of e-invoicing type of solutions or Softy type of solutions. Some more detailed information about and screenshots from the solution. So first, it always starts with the extraction of the data. So this is a standard selection screen from SAP, where you enter your company code, your organization ID, company code in most cases, can also be a sales org, and what you want to extract from the data, customers and or vendors. And there are two types of processes. One is just a simple extraction, and then all the data are then stored in the cockpit. And another one is that you do directly an online check with these data. On the bottom, at the bottom, you see the results from such an extraction. So there we have 19 customers and 13 customers and 19 records are added to be checked. And there are more records because some customers do have foreign VAT registration, and also these VAT registration numbers are added to the cockpit for the final validation. Again, batch processing is also possible for this. So that makes your life a little bit easier if you are an end user. No, I think it is not moving to the next screen.
Let me try.
Yeah. So we have extracted the data and then they are stored in the cockpit. And this is an overview of the solution cockpit. All the data are then here visible. It is an overview of all the selected data. You see customers, the first 20 rows lines, and at the bottom you see also vendors. The difference is if it is K and A, then it is a customer. If it is LFA, then it is a vendor. You see every line is representing a VAT registration number. And in this case, you see here we have customer 17, and that is appearing multiple times with different VAT registration numbers. So in Poland, Czech, Hungary, and Ireland. And with the buttons on the top, we can do actions, we can process it. And with the button check online, when you select a line in the overview and then you press check online, then the system will make the connection to the VIS platform and will do the validation. You can do it for one line, or you can also select multiple lines. We can also exclude some numbers from the validation. And that is primarily in some cases, a customer does have a VAT registration number, but it is not correctly captured in the databases of the member states. And that is happening sometimes. So then in that case, we know that the number of the customer is valid because we have checked it with the customer itself or with the tax authority, but for whatever reason, it is not captured correctly in all these databases. So in that case, you can exclude the entry from the validation. You can skip it. And there are also on the top side, you see that paper that is representing the log, where you can display all your logging that has happened for these VAT numbers. And then trying to get to the next slide. Yep. Something about the status. There is a column status, and then that is important because there you can see all the results from your validation. So there are different statuses available. The most important one is the green flag, because then we have a successful validation. So the message from the EU VIS platform is, okay, yes, this was a valid number, and then you are okay. But it is also possible that is a kind of what we call then partial success. And that is primarily in the cases where we have a valid number, but the name is not fully corresponding to the name that is captured in the database of the member state. So there is a discrepancy between the name that we store in the master data and how it is stored in the tax authority databases. That is what we call a partial success. So the number is correct, but the name cannot be correct. And that is that yellow box. More serious is when the validation is failed. In that case, it is not a valid number. And then you have to take an action, because with the invalid VAT number, we definitely know that when it is part of an intra-EU transaction, then we do not qualify as an intra-EU, inter-community supply, not zero rate, and then there is a risk. We can also delete some items because we don't want to validate them anymore because the customer is deleted or whatever. And there is a flag that the entry is skipped because we know that there was something with this number wrong in the whole validation process. This is a high level overview of all the possible results. And you see this is a test system and the screenshot is from a test system, and therefore we have quite some not 100% complete data in it. So therefore you see a lot of invalid numbers and partial success numbers. And I hope that that will not be the case in your system. Now, something about the details. So it is possible to look in a more detailed way to a specific number, that line. And then you see all the relevant elements. So in this case, you see a partial success, the yellow box. And the VAT number is correct, so there is a green flag for yes, it is correct, the Italian VAT number, but the name is not correct. And that is because it is kind of a Turkish name for it. So therefore, it is a partial success. And then you can also have a look in your master data. Yeah, what should be really the name, and is it connected to each other? On the bottom, you see also a part of the logging. And the first line, there you see the consultation number, the WAPI, a number of A's, etc. That is the official number that you receive from the system, and that proves that you have validated. And you also see the date and the time of that validation. This is for your audit trail, and this is your evidence that you have done what you have to do in these type of scenarios. So when there is an audit and they are complaining that it was not a valid number, you can show based on this logging that you have done everything that you could in your business process. And yeah, there is also a complete overview of the logging, and there, yeah, that's more or less of the same. But there you have all the actions that have been taken for that specific validation and that specific VAT number. This is all about preparing, to be prepared in case of an audit, and tax auditors are asking questions about the correctness and the validness of zero-rated transactions. This is an overview of a screenshot from the customer master data, where we have added a separate box, which is called VIS check. And when you use that button, then the number that is entered in the VAT registration number at the bottom, that will then be online checked against the platform. If it is not valid, then you should not add it to your master data, because we only want to have clean master data in our system. That is should be one of the basic principles for operating in SAP. So can we now go, want to have a brief view on the system as such. So I now go to SAP. This is our test system in SAP. And then you see a kind of a menu structure where all our solutions are listed there. And one of them is the VIES solution here. So from this part, we can do everything. We can do the what we call now the collection run. And in that case, it is just the extraction. This is the same screen that you saw before. And now you just do an extraction on customers. Okay, 14 customers are found, 20 records added, and zero skipped. That is all. So now these data are then moved to the cockpit. So I go back, and then there is one other transaction, and that is the cockpit. There are also some customizing transactions where you have to set it up for the when you implement the solution. So you have to do some customizing. And the good thing is that everything that is related to a specific solution is always captured in one single entry. So you don't have to go to all the different structures in SAP. It is all at one place available. Now I go to the cockpit. And here I see all kind of transactions, and I was expecting something else. I think it is this one. So here we already see some results. When you look at it, then this one, there is the status waiting for the validation. And that is kind of obvious because we don't have a VAT registration number. You can see it in the system. So therefore we cannot validate it. The next line with customer 8, Italy. As an Italian VAT number, the status is okay. The VAT status 1 is okay, valid, and 2 is not valid. And here we see that the name status is incorrect. So it is not a comparable name. And that is because this number belongs to SciTech whatever, and in our master data we have customer name is different. And we can do it now again. So if I select this one and I press the button check online, then the connection is made to the VIES database and then the new validation is done. And you can see here real time that the check was performed, that the number was correct, but the name was not correct. And then I can also show the details, just what was shown in the slide deck, that is in fact the same. You see the same. The issue with this one is that we don't have a consultation number, and that is because in the configuration for this company code, we have not configured it to check it with our own number. So this is a Turkish company code, and there we don't have the settings for checking it with a valid number, and therefore you don't receive a validation consultation number. But it is, so you don't have to prove, but it is a valid number. If I go to this one, then this number is not correct, so therefore they have the status 2 invalid and they have the red flag. And we can also see the logging for it. And recently there was only one check performed, but it was an invalid one. For the time being, I would like to keep it there unless there are questions, but we will see that later on. But this provides an overview of all your customer VAT numbers that are then checked against the database. I can do one additional thing because this one was awaiting checking. This is for a vendor. And then I can also check it online. And it is not a valid number. And if I refresh it, then you will see that the status is updated from awaiting for checking into invalid. That is what I wanted to show you from the system as such. So now we go back to the presentation. And then we are in Poland. So now we have covered the VAT registration numbers across Europe, and now we are going to tell you something about Poland. Poland, it is about the soft T type of requirements and the whitelist. Soft T is already introduced for a long time. So in 2016, the first soft T requirements were introduced in Poland. It is not only for the VAT file that you have to submit on a monthly basis, but it is also for accounting books, bank statements, all your movements and all your sales invoices. There are different blocks, different type of files that you have to submit. But the VAT file is the one that you have to submit on a monthly basis. And all the others are on request of the tax authorities. We haven't seen such a request for our customers so far. But the VAT was also introduced in 2016, monthly file, only the evidence of your VAT transactions, meaning your purchase invoices and your sales invoices. That was captured in the JPK VAT file. This one is replaced by a new format, a new file, and that is called JPK VDEC. And that is, in fact, today, it is the go-live day for JPK VDEC. So from from today onwards, when you submit your VAT data, you have to do it with a new format. There are two different files. One is for monthly returns and the other one is for quarterly returns. So for quarterly returns, then you will only be required to submit it early next year. But for the monthly file, so then you have to submit it already. It is quite a complicated change that has happened. So not only the data that invoice data from purchases and sales that have to be reported before today has to be included, but also the complete VAT return. So in the past you had that you have to submit your invoice details and you have to submit separately a VAT return. And it's now is it all combined into one file that you have to submit. So you have only one file to submit, but it is much more complicated because it is including all kind of different data, not just the transactional data that you extract from SAP, but also your summary for your VAT return, all your groupings, etc., etc. And there are quite a number of new fields that are introduced by the Polish Tax Authority. There are specific indicators for goods and services. That is what they call the GTU field. So if you are in the oil and gas industry, then for different type of fuels, you have to use a different type of GTU values, and that needs to be included in your file. That is quite complicated. And that is requiring also an integrated solution. not only for specific goods and services, but also for specific transactions. So if you use EU triangulation rules, if you use split payment, if you have a reverse charge of VAT at import, then you also need to identify that in your files, in your data, which is an additional complexity. And last but not least, it is also including your VAT return data, but these are not always available in SAP. They are asking data that you don't have in SAP. And an example is that they are asking in the VAT return your excess input VAT from previous periods. But that is something that you simply do not capture in SAP. So therefore, you cannot directly extract that from SAP. And what we did for that is that we, in the extraction screen, when you run the transaction, that you can add these data manually by yourself before you create that VAT return and that file. Something about the architecture. You see, it is more or less exactly the same as what we showed you for the VIES application. Left-hand side, transactional data. In the middle, we have the core functionality in SAP with the cockpit and the option to extract as XML files. There are for Poland, for the returns, and there are two options. One is via web services with a connector directly to the Polish Ministry of Finance, but you can also download the file manually and then upload the file manually to the website of the Polish tax authorities. Key element for our soft T solution for Poland, with also the new ones, but it is fully integrated. And in principle, you don't need to use external software and interfaces. We are using globally registered namespaces for all our objects. That makes it independent of all your other things that you do with SAP, because it is only /SNI/ objects that we are using. You can use it for any release up from 4.7, SAP R3 4.7, which is quite a prehistoric version, but still used. And it is independent because we are using that our own namespaces. It is independent, in fact, of upgrades of SAP. After an SAP upgrade, you can still use our solution. The solution is very simple to implement because we are using external transport file, and that is imported by your IT department into SAP, and then we configure it with the customizing, and then in principle you are up and running. Of course, important to test everything. And also it is important that we use standard SAP authorization policies, so that whatever you want, that you allow only specific people to use these type of transactions, you can also implement that for our solution. Some screenshots. This is the menu. This is also what we saw for the VIES. Same logic. Here you see a lot more options in the menu because it is much more complicated. VIES was only simple extraction and validation and not so many specific customizing that you need. Here we have a lot more customizing. This is not only for the VAT file, the VDEC file, the new, but also for all the other files that are have to be created on request. But again, it is all in one place available, so then you don't have to search the whole SAP menu structure. Extracting data. It is, by the way, the same process. Customizing, extracting data, the file, and then submitting it. This is the extraction screen for the solution, for the VAT return, but also for all the others. So you see a drop-down menu with document types. There we have all the different files that are that can be required listed, and based on that file, all the extraction is done. So you enter the company code, the key date. You can define if you want to extract the VAT return based on the posting date or the tax reporting date if you use that for Poland. Then that is defined in the customizing, and then you can use that here in a simple way. When you do the extraction and you press execute, then the file, the XML file, will be created automatically and will be then again stored in the cockpit. This is an overview of the cockpit, where you see here you don't see the lines representing a VAT number or whatever. Here the line is representing a VAT file or every file that is created. The look and feel is the same, but you can select the file, you can display it, you can download it to Excel, because sometimes you need to make changes, manual adjustments, because you cannot do that in SAP because the month is already closed. So therefore, to be able to submit the correct VAT return, the only solution then is to download the file, do some adjustments in Excel, and then you can upload the file again, and then it will be recreated in XML. And with the glasses, you can display it in a more human readable format. You see that in the next slide. So it is all with this type of reporting solutions and XML. It is all in that XML language, and that is for standard users not easily readable. But now you can present it as just as a standard report, where you see all the applicable data available. And we have to move forward because of the timing. So then next to the VAT return, we have the whitelist. That is in principle, it is the same as the VIES validation, as was discussed earlier. But the whitelist, that is a published list of valid or approved bank accounts in Poland. It is managed by the National Tax Administration, and they update it every day, all the applicable bank accounts or the valid bank account, the approved bank account. And what we will do is to validate that the bank account that is in our system, our SAP system, that it is included on that list from the tax administration, and that it is therefore a valid number to be used, that can be used. It is important because if you do a payment to a bank account that is not included in the whitelist, then there is a significant risk for the reclaim of your input VAT. In principle, if you do a payment to an not whitelisted bank account, then you cannot reclaim your input VAT. And that is a significant cost in Poland, because I think the current rate is 24%. So therefore, it is important. But it is also stated that then also the cost associated to that payment cannot be deducted from your corporate income tax return. So it is a kind of a double penalty that you get if you don't pay to a whitelisted bank account. So what we will do with the whitelist, so that we do a kind of a validation to that list, and then we check the bank account if they are included on the whitelist. Okay, fine, then we are happy. If not, then we need to pay attention to it. And for every validation that you do against that whitelist, you will receive what they then call a unique polling number, which is more or less the same as the consultation number that we saw on the VIES validation. And that is evidence that you have checked the whitelist. So that today it was a valid bank account, and if tomorrow it is removed, but I have paid today, then I have paid to a valid bank account. bank account, whatever the Polish tax authority would say later on. Architecture, exactly the same as for the VIS solution. And the cockpit, you see, now, wait, I'm going too fast. What's happening? Yeah, then it is time to go to SAP. Very briefly, we can also show that in SAP itself. Go back. Here I have the whitelist cockpit. Same type of overview with red flags, or red crosses, green flags, and partial status. Exactly the same overview logic that is used. So here we have a bank account. We can see the details. We can do an online check. I hope that there is a connection, but we will see. But more important than if there is a status that it is not a valid bank account, then there is an option. No, in this case, check failed. So let's have a look. So we did have a connection. Here we have a number of bank accounts, but the check failed. I don't know, sorry. But more important is that when there is an invalid bank account, then you can also set a payment block. So in that case, in your master data, this bank account will be blocked for any payment. So then you are not able to do a payment because that is a standard SAP flag, in fact, and that will prevent that you pay an amount to a bank account that is included, not included in the whitelist. That is basically the thing. We also have a lock. You have a payment block, by the way, and we have an unblock. For whatever reason, you can also unblock it. We have a lock in the table, and here you see that all the actions that you've taken. That is in a nutshell, also looking at the time, what I wanted to say about the whitelist. And then the floor is yours, Osman.
We can take it a bit longer in terms of the timing curve, but it's okay.
I think this is okay. Otherwise it will be too much. Then you can also answer some questions. Are you taking it over now from here?
Yes.
Because this is what I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you, Robert. And if you want, we can continue a little bit from the how can we help you part, and then we can pass the questions and answer. So as you all know, in end-to-end solutions, there are three main steps. And these steps are the data, starting with the data retrieving from the SAP and followed by the data mapping and processing in order to convert the data into the format that text authorities asks for. And lastly, the direct communication with the text authority. And SNI add-on solutions covers all these three steps in just one single add-on solution. And Robert already mentioned from the architecture, so I'm skipping these parts. And I would like to mention a little bit about the benefits for the SAP users. As we provide as a package of the add-on solution, you wouldn't need to install any SAP OSS nodes. And in terms of the cost effectiveness, you wouldn't need to look for the external consultants as we complete all the project by ourselves. And you wouldn't need to upgrade your SAP system as our add-on solutions are applicable with the SAP ECC and S4 versions. And also, as a last but not least, all of our add-on solutions are SAP certified. And our main aim is to help you in order to save time, cut costs, and reduce risks. And I will directly jump to the questions and answers part. And we have a couple of questions already waiting for. From an anonymous attendee, there is a question. What differences or improvements are there in SNI VS solution with respect to the solution offered by SAP? And in the same question, there is another one. Is there any restriction on the number of online queries that can be made to the VS platform?
Yeah, okay, Robert speaking. I don't know the exact SAP solution, so I cannot say anything about if there are differences, improvements, etc. As far as I know, the SAP solution is not part of the core, so you have to, and there's also a kind of an add-on, and you have to get an additional license for it, which is more or less the same as with the SNI solution, but yeah, I cannot comment on the content of the SAP solution. About the restriction of the number of online queries, in principle, there is no restriction. So therefore, you can do it as often as you can. The from a business perspective, what we see is that doing it every month would be okay, and then on a kind of an incremental basis. And so all the VAT numbers that have not been validated yet, and then for on an annual basis do it every year for all your VAT numbers, kind of pragmatical approach. And what I do know, by the way, from SAP, that they are now also working on something that include that validation in the SD process. Yeah, we are not doing that because that will kind of create an issue with what to do when one transaction is failing, and if you have a billing run and then one transaction is failing, and how to move on, etc., etc. So for us, it is really making sure that your master data are correct, and if you do that on a regular basis, then it is fine. And then it is about risk reduction. I hope this answers it a little bit.
Thank you, Robert. And another question from Omer Mir. Is the solution only for SAP or can be integrated with other ERP systems?
Yeah, we have only solutions for SAP. No, that is quite simple. We do have some options that you can use a portal that we also have for all kind of actions and software type of solutions. But then you have to download it from your own ERP system, and then you can use that portal to do the submission, etc. But basically, it is only SAP.
Thank you. And another question from Anna Anikienko. Is the bank account validation possible during the payment run in F110?
It is, of course, possible, but we don't have it yet. This is the more or less the same thing like with VAT numbers. This solution is for ensuring that your master data are correct. And to integrate it in the standard processes, yeah, is more complicated. But we are happy to look at it to see what would be possible, but at this moment in time, not.
Thank you. And another question from Claudio Poschmann. Is the solution also working with the business partners?
Yeah, then you are talking about, I think, the new business partner design, the overall design. We haven't come across it yet, but if you have business, if you use the functionality of the business partners, then it will be available. It is, as far as I know, it is not really at the moment the case, but the design is there, so we can change it to also working for business partners. It's a little bit different, but yeah, it's just sometimes also the key data are also the same, but it's a little bit different. But then we also have to look in how you have implemented that business partner function tables. But primarily, we are using K for VAT or for bank accounts. Now, for this is business partners is for mainly for VAT. Then we are using the KNA1, so the standard SAP tables, and that is also used by the business partner functionality. It is a kind of copy, but there's also some additional logic.
Thank you, Robert. And another question from Mark Perrot. For JPK VAT, if there are changes within the XML in future, how are they delivered?
With an external transport. And that is what we did for all our customers that are using the SAFTI solution for Poland. And for that SAFTI solution for Poland, there have been already some changes in the structure for the XML. And now the VDEC one is a very kind of very invasive change, so a very very big change. But what we do, then we analyze it and we change the system, and then you will get an external transport. So in the last month, we have provided all new transports to comply with the new requirements of the XML to all our customers.
Thank you. And another question from Michael Budai. Do you have also solution for old version of SAP, like 4.C?
Yeah. Now we have done it once for Spain. But it was very complicated. We managed to do it, to implement it, but at the same time, because of that complexity, and that is more the technical complexity with the 4.6 does not have a good XML generator or functionality, and that was in fact creating a lot of issues. So therefore, we have done it once. But based on that experience, we are not happy to do it again.
Thank you. And another question from Fabrizio Saccato. A Swift number is included in the whitelist Poland.
I don't know. The Swift number, that is that 4 8 character number, a special number? I don't think so. because this is about the IBAN number. So that is really the local bank account number. So I don't think that the SWIFT number is included. There's also more about local Polish bank accounts. So if SWIFT is more for international payment, as far as I know, I'm not a finance banking expert, but as far as I know, SWIFT is more for international payments, and the whitelist is really for domestic payments.
Thank you, Robert. And we have last question from Ned Herbert. Are there any technical requirements for the S/4HANA system?
I don't know. As far as I know, there are no specific requirements, and the solution is working both in ECC, in R347 plus ECC and S/4HANA.
Thank you, Robert. And sorry, we have one more last question from Murat Ildeniz. Do you send the VAT declaration by sending each and every invoice in Poland or in total?
That is simple. That is a total. So you all the invoices that are issued and received and posted in SAP for a specific period, a month, they are all included in one file. So it is not a single invoice sending, but it is a report. A report of all invoices in that specific return period. And it is also, in Poland, it is also not a very detailed level. It is primarily name, address, tax number, the date, and then all the amounts classified on the different boxes in your return. But there are no details on the line item. That's an interesting question.
Thank you, Robert. And I think that's all the questions that we had. Would you like to add something up, Robert, before we close?
No, it was a pleasure to do it. And I hope it was useful and it was providing some information to everyone.
Thank you for your help, Robert. And thank you all our attendees for participating in our webinar. Hope to see you in another webinars then. Thank you all so much and stay safe.